Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me tonight,
Nikki.
And Richie Rich. Next time you should like take a hit and then do it while you're exhaling.
Hey, man.
Right.
It's Free Talk Live, man.
And then just end it with LLC.
The problem is I won't have anything left to do that at the end of it. Like the official title is far too lengthy to they teach you like how to like breathe with your diaphragm so that you don't expel all of your air like when singing and stuff like that. I've never taken like actual singing lessons. It's just what I've divined from singers that I've worked with and troubles they were having, and so I picked up some things here and there. But like, that being said, I'm still not on that level. Like, I can't do that. I can't do like a 30-second note hold.
Yep. Sing right? from your belly.
Yeah, sing from the diaphragm.
I had a friend who was a Reformed Jehovah's Witness.
Ooh.
And I swear.
So he's just a witness?
Yeah. I swear he could like inhale while he was talking, and therefore he never shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like I'd see him at the door. We did door-to-door sales together. And he just would not let the customer get a word in edgewise. Just like, you got to take, as soon as you pause, take a breath, like that's their opportunity. And they never had one because he just kept going. And somehow while saying words, inhaled in so he could say more words before they had that chance.
I just had a business idea.
Okay.
Door-to-door sales of doors.
They do that.
I've never seen a door-to-door salesman selling doors. I've seen a lot of door-to-door salesmen selling all sorts of crap.
You can't bring samples with you, that's why.
You could have one in the trunk.
Okay.
Strapped to the hood of your car or something.
I know a garage door saleswoman, but I don't think it was door-to-door, so I guess that wouldn't...
That's like they telemarket, set an appointment, and then she goes and shows up. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I do.
I know.
Well, I work for a company that does that.
Sure, yeah. It's a common way to do that kind of business.
It's still effective, getting less effective by the day, but well, still effective.
Yeah, because they, well, anyway. Because
the government.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Short answer.
Yeah, it's so easy these days to go trace everything back to, oh, look, it's the government's fault.
They keep passing rules and regulations, make it more difficult.
Yeah, if you got your, if you have a landline and you were able to get that on the no-call list, this government list. You actually receive more.
I don't doubt it.
Calls. So I'm told. I'm not citing any data points here, but like I've been told that has happened.
I still think. I mean, it's expensive, so I haven't done it yet. But as crypto goes up in value, I go, maybe I'll cash out some and do this. Set yourself up with a 900 number.
Oh yeah.
And then put that on all the forms. That way, when they call you to solicit, they're paying you for the call.
Ooh.
That's a good idea.
And there was a dude in England, like, I had this idea. I'd shared it with a few people.
Dude,
then I saw an article. Did
900 numbers still exist?
Yeah.
Ah.
But there was a dude in England that did it. You know?
Oh.
And he was just, I don't know how much he made, but, you know, you don't put yourself on the do not call list. You put yourself on the please call me list, right? Because that dialer is going to dial a 900 number, and then they're going to get the bill, and you're going to get paid.
I haven't even heard of a 900 number. The last time I can remember hearing of one was...
porn.
Psychic hotline.
Oh, yeah, Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, call now.
Same idea, right?
I already know you're going to call. I'm psychic.
But we looked it up. It's like 800 bucks to set up the number.
Yeah.
And so it's a flat rate, 800 bucks to set up the number.
Yeah. Is there an annual fee to keep it alive?
There's an annual fee for your phone bill anyway, right?
Yeah,
so it's like nothing new there.
Yeah.
But you get to pick, like you can do, 99 cents a minute or up to like 40 bucks a minute or 40 bucks flat rate.
Max that thing out
no matter how long the call is.
Yeah.
Because they're going to leave a quick call and boom, you're like 40 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's more ideas to be had around this idea.
Just do it.
The dude in
England did it.
Yeah.
I don't have 800 bucks to like flush down the toilet to set it up. Nor am I spammed daily by calls, right? Like, my phone is whitelisted, contacts only, everything else goes to voicemail. I don't get a lot of calls anyway.
Yeah.
Because I don't share my number around town.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I don't experience it enough where, like I need to do this.
Yeah.
But if you're getting a lot of those calls, right, just change your number to a 900 number.
I just get regular scammers.
Yeah. Well, imagine if they had to pay though now.
Yeah.
Right? If you're getting them frequently enough where it's annoying you, and then you change your number to a 900 number and fish that around to every place, like every place you sign up, put that number in there, because they'll sell it, they'll share it, right? And then you just receive all the calls, it goes to voicemail, who cares?
But yeah. 40 My bucks new thing is just doing zeros.
What is one of your limbs worth? What would you be willing to accept?
Nothing.
As a price?
Nothing?
To
nothing.
Lose one of your limbs, a leg.
Your limb is worth nothing?
Well, no, I mean it. I'm willing
I'll
to
take
priceless.
Them all. Oh,
priceless
okay.
is right. more the like, oh, you want it? Yeah. Just take it. Sure.
Nikki's got a hacksaw with her. She's like, I'll just do it right now.
Yeah.
I'll take the two middle fingers from your right hand.
If it gets us ratings, why not?
Yeah.
This
No,
guy,
I wouldn't trade any monetary amount for a limb. Like, not worth it to me. If I lost a limb, I would pay any price to get it back.
I met a guy when I first moved to Seattle. I was doing telemarketing when I first got there.
Okay.
Because it's a quick job that you can get, like, and most telemarketing jobs are part-time for the most part, unless you want it to be full-time, but they mostly start you out as part-time. Because if you suck, they're going to get rid of you quick, but if you're good, then they'll let you work whenever.
Yeah, you don't even want to be doing that full-time, though. That's,
no.
It's
like,
a chore.
Yeah, like 3 hours is about all the telemarketing I could handle back then. I can't handle any of it now.
I've got a few people that do 10 hours a day.
No, I could not do that. No.
Yeah.
But I picked up a telemarketing job, and I met this guy. Because sometimes telemarketers aren't the most scrupulous of people, right? Sometimes.
Fair, yes.
And at least back in the day, like we're talking 96, 98, somewhere in there. I met this guy who was working at the same place, and so we're outside having a smoke during our smoke break. And he starts talking to me about this. He's got this scam for like how to get insurance money out of your car insurance. And you basically stage a fender bender.
Okay.
Right? Like, both people are in on it, right? But whoever has the insurance is going to get the payout. But then, like, you split the winnings, if you will.
Or
theft. Between the two of you. Right. Yes. This sounds to me like fraud.
It is.
And so I declined his invitation. But when he explained it to me, it reminded me of this story. Except this isn't a car. This is a human being.
With right? limbs.
With limbs. Yeah.
So, past tense.
And also, like, just as a off-topic note, we do get quite a few articles for show prep, particularly on Sundays, from businessinsider.com.
Okay.
And, like, to me, it doesn't seem like this is a very, like, they don't live up to their name, basically. I expect Business Insider to be, like, stocks and bonds and trading and, you know, not, like, tabloid-esque headlines, but...
Right.
Whatever.
So before you get into this one, pre-show,
okay,
we talked about the other limb article of the week that we did not put in the show prep.
Yes.
And that was the dude like chewing on a human leg.
Right. And okay. What was the summary on that one?
Lady got hit by a train, dismembered her, like, you know, cut her leg off. She later died, but some, I'm going to say homeless dude or drugged out dude or whatever, just strolled up on the scene, grabbed the leg, walked away, and there's video of him just gnawing on it, like, on the side of the curb. So, if you do lose a limb, just make sure there's no homeless dudes nearby ready to pick it up.
You know, we don't know. Maybe he's keto or carnivore or something.
I just think he was from Haiti.
You think he was just hungry?
Haiti.
Oh. He hated you?
No, never mind. Are you not familiar what's going on in Haiti?
What's going on in Haiti?
The cannibals. Yeah, the cannibals.
The cannibal run? What? No.
Haiti's overrun by cannibals
right
now.
Yeah, this is big news.
Overrun?
The cannibals have taken over the Haitian government. There's a dude named Barbecue. I gave it to you last
week.
Oh, I remember that headline.
Okay. Yeah.
The dude's
how
named
could
Barbecue?
You, yeah, how could you forget Barbecue?
So I have run into so many colorful characters in my time.
Okay.
Almost nothing sticks in my brain.
But never a cannibal named Barbecue.
Never a cannibal named Barbecue.
That's, I mean, I don't know.
Who's the de facto president of Haiti at the moment?
No way. That's more than colorful. Like, I don't know if colorful is the word I would use.
If they were doing an international summit, he's the one that they would invite to the White House to negotiate.
Barbecue the cannibal. That sounds like a what's his name? Bruce
Springsteen?
No.
Leroy?
The guy in Army of Darkness.
Bruce Campbell. Yeah,
yeah, it sounds like a Bruce Campbell like film. Yeah. Barbecue, The Cannibal, Part 2 in 3D for the fourth time.
With the Netflix adaptation, it'll definitely be Bruce Campbell.
I don't know. I'm finding some sources saying it's fake news.
Snopes? Richie Rich likes Snopes.
If it's Snopes, then you can confirm it's probably real news.
PolitiFact.
You tried to combat something I posted with a Snopes refutation, pal. Creighton, you're on Free Talk Live.
I didn't call for this reason, but I actually do know a little bit about Johnny Barbecue.
The cannibal?
He is not, in fact, a cannibal. He is aligned with cannibals. Johnny Barbecue is a childhood nickname for this man who actually is a former police officer and decorated one at that. But after he was kicked out of the police, he formed this, I guess you could call it a gang. It was more like a security force called G9. And over time, he aligned with the other gangs. It's basically a civil war going on. It's not really fair to claim that Johnny Barbecue is himself a cannibal. But,
the little blurb from the article that we previously had said he is known as Barbecue for burning people alive.
That is not true.
Okay.
He is known for Johnny Barbecue as a childhood nickname.
And his name's Jimmy.
Because his mother, Jimmy Barbecue, yes, Jimmy Barbecue, because his mother earned money as a street vendor who barbecued food.
So how is he aligned with cannibals?
Well, like I said, there are other gang members. The other gangs in the area, of Port-au-Prince that he's operating. And he basically allied himself and his G9 with these other gangs and convinced them to all work together. When the president, the acting president, because he was never elected, he was actually appointed by a council of ambassadors that were dominated by the United States. He has never been elected. And he's been there for 3 years, I think. He flew to Kenya to recruit Kenyan police officers to come to Haiti to put these guys down. But Kenyan police officers are known for being basically brutal paramilitary units. So on his way back, they decided to act first, and they conquered the airport and prevented him from landing. He actually landed in New York. So this was a coup and apparently pretty well organized by this Jimmy Barbecue. But that nickname is not because he's brutal. He is brutal, but that's not how he got the nickname.
Okay. This article also says he was sacked from the Haitian police force in 2018 because of his role in slum murders and rapes.
That is highly debatable.
Okay.
I mean, again, he was still a police officer and he was a high ranking one.
Okay.
So we're not
participating in a slaughter of slums where 71 people were killed, 7 women raped, and 400 homes were burned down.
Again, not going to contest that.
Okay.
He's not a great guy. I'm not saying that.
Making sure we're not trying to paint him as some great revolutionary who just happens to be aligned with cannibals.
He comes over to Creighton's place for beers and a joint every now and again, you know.
Not saying that. I'm trying to put a little balance.
They play a little Call of Duty together. Maybe some Grand Theft Auto. I don't know.
But anyway, that's not why I called.
Why did you call tonight, Creighton?
The actual reason I called is because I was on hold last night. I was trying to respond to David last night. And I couldn't let it go. I had to call in.
Okay.
I haven't gotten that far in last night's show, so fill me in on what David said before you respond.
David from New Mexico or somebody else?
David in San Francisco. We were talking about currencies in the history of.
Okay.
David does have historical fact, right? Within his arguments, he just, whenever somebody calls him out on something or gets him pigeonholed, he changes the subject instead of addressing the item at hand. So, at any rate, go ahead, Craig.
they had a lot of things wrong, but specifically I had to mention that he claimed that the U.S. dollar had a lot to do with the American Revolution. Well, the fact is, the U.S. dollar did not exist before the Coinage Act of 1792.
Right.
So we went for 16 years without a U.S. dollar. And during this time, and prior to the Revolutionary War, the dollar was actually a mispronunciation of a thaler. A thaler was a minted silver coin from the Germans.
Thought it was Spain. Go on.
Maybe I got the area wrong. But it was a particular mine named after the owner. But the thaler, what made the thaler special was that it was a very precise minting. It was a precise weight of silver, as opposed to such as the Spanish doubloon, which was a general size, but they considered its value. Spain did.
Well, we talked about this several months ago as well, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the Coinage Act of 1792 denominates the U.S. dollar in grains of silver.
So this from Business Insider. A student persuaded by his friend to get his legs amputated for $1.3 million
That's
in insurance.
That's both legs.
Both legs. Yeah, legs, plural.
Yeah.
For $1.3 million in an insurance scam, wound up getting only $7,200, and he now has to return that, say prosecutors.
Poor kids. What's it like being the friend? Like, I thought it would work, bro.
Honestly,
I'm sorry.
I think I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
Rimshot.
And, and say that the friend was probably not a good friend and maybe not even a very good person.
He probably said, we'll split the money. You get $1.3 million, dude. I'll just take the $0.3 million.
It's my idea, so... I'm kind of thinking of me like your manager.
Right, yeah. All I got to do is get 10 friends to cut off their legs, and I'm set.
A university student in Taiwan who had his legs amputated in hopes of receiving $1.3 million in insurance payout has been arrested on suspicion of fraud, local prosecutors say.
Dang.
The 23-year-old, 23, like I'm 51, so like I lose a leg. I had most of my life with you know, two good legs. So yeah. Like, you know, I
23? That's young.
I could sort of justify it later on if I'm regretting my decision, but at 23, man, wow. 23-year-old identified only by his last name, Zhang, plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for more than 10 hours to get them so badly frostbitten that he would need a double amputation.
That's hardcore.
We used to get dry ice to go camping, man. I wasn't even allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah. I used to subscribe to ButcherBox.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they send you, you know, frozen meat. It's all supposed to be like non-GMO and no growth hormone, you know, grass fed, you know, all that kind of crap. All the good
free
stuff.
Bacon for a year.
All that good stuff. Yeah. And, you know, you get the box, and it's a super insulated box. They do a great job with their packaging, but then it's topped with dry ice. And so, of course, the bags, are, if this bag is open, do not touch, right? You know, put into a sink or something, you know, blah, blah. And they give you directions on how to deal with it or whatever. But I would always take the leftover dry ice, put it in the sink, and then run the water because, like, I'd fog up my kitchen just for fun. You know,
such a child.
Yeah. It reminds me of the old fog machine.
Turns
on
the disco
would,
light.
You know, playing the heavy metal shows, right? Turn on the fog machine and, you know, sort of smoke yourselves out, if you will.
Oh, man. My mom and my stepdad have a fog machine. I came home from school once and they just hit it as I walked through the door. It was so cool.
Oh, man. I wish I could remember the dude's name. The guy I got the fog machine from, I worked with at the time, and he found out I was in a band, and he's like, dude, I tried to, like, play bass in, like, high school, and I sucked at it, and we had a crappy band, and, you know, he's like, but I have this fog machine, and I want to give it to you.
Nice.
And as a musician, I'm always accepting free gear, right?
Yeah.
You know? Like, if nothing more, I could turn around and sell it and get something that I did want or whatever, right? But he brings me, I thought it was just going to be a regular black box with the little handle slash mount on it. You could put it up on the rack of lights and all that stuff.
Yep.
But no, this thing has a skull on the front of it with red eyes that light up. Okay. As it spews smoke out. And so, oh,
so this is cool. Your Halloween decoration fog
this
machine.
This was our year-round fog machine, but it made especially good for Halloween. It was also great for when we opened for the Misfits. As you know, also have skull decorations. We also brought, not only did we have Foggy, the machine, we called him Foggy, the light
did
up
you give
eyes
him a hat
or
called Fog Hat?
No. Fog Hat's not metal.
Whatever.
But so we would set up Foggy like near the drum kit, and then on either side of the front of the stage, we had these two giant styrofoam skulls that also had red eyes that lit up. They just took a little like a AA battery in the bottom of it or whatever, and it would literally only last for like maybe 2 hours. So like one show and done. You had to change the batteries right before the show in order for it to work appropriately. But Jerry Only himself, we were dragging in these skulls and Foggy, the skull fog machine, and you know, he's doing sound check, and we're loading our stuff in, and there's a pause. The sound guy's like, give me a couple of minutes. And so Jerry's just standing there on stage. And I go, hey, Jerry, check it out. And I hold up the big skull, and he goes, yeah, I seen that when you guys were loading in. I kind of got an eye for this type of thing. Because, you know, the Misfits have been around for 30 freaking years or more.
Nice.
So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, this guy. 23-year-old Zhang.
10 hours plunged, in dry ice.
Plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for 10 hours.
Can you plunge into dry ice? To, like, what else was in there?
Water, maybe? I don't know. Gigi from South Carolina.
The whole gang is there. Miss Nikki, Richie Rich, and my secret passion. Good evening,
it's
everyone.
It's not a secret, Gigi. We all know.
I know. The whole country knows now, even my husband.
Yeah, but I bet you these guys in Taiwan don't know.
And would they
give
up the limb
for? I'm inclined to agree with Nikki. I don't ever recall it getting so cold in Taiwan. So I'm a little perplexed at this story.
I mean, it, again, depends on where you go. I don't know
well,
the region.
It looks pretty close. I looked it up because I didn't know exactly like what
the elevation.
Yeah.
Like there's
yeah,
a snow,
the elevation
there's a
too,
snowboard club
but
in Hawaii, right? Because there's a mountain range where it gets cold and snowy.
So
and
I guess
maybe
that's true. It's pretty close to the equator. You know,
okay.
It's like,
well, in my opinion, if he did do what his idiot friend said, he's even more stupid.
It sounds like these guys were not the sharpest tools in the shed, as far as that goes.
Two sandwiches short of a picnic.
That's a very specific
okay,
number.
Okay, here is why I am calling everybody. I wanted to pick up where we left off last night regarding what I thought was a very interesting question you posed to me, Captain, regarding the Department of Justice's offer for Julian Assange to agree to, and I'm quoting you, mishandling classified information, end of quotes. Well, as luck would have it, last night I was listening to the BBC, and who other than Lawrence Tribe, infamous constitutional law professor from Harvard, made comments about that exactly, as well as Mr. Edward Snowden hiding out in Russia.
Yep.
And according to our illustrious law professor, and I will be paraphrasing, not quoting him,
sure,
he feels that if, in fact, he did sign such an agreement, that both he and his attorney, now I will be quoting Mr. Tribe, would be grossly misinformed, end quote. And Mr. Tribe went on to say that if he is, in fact, a journalist, why isn't he being accorded, as you said, Captain, freedom of speech, but in parentheses and highlighted, freedom of the press?
Yeah. Well,
at no time was Mr. Assange ever employed as a civilian or military personnel, part or full-time, for any element of the Department of Defense or the Department of State, and that he should be accorded freedom of the press. And then he went on to say that Mr. Snowden, who was in fact working full-time for the NSA in Richie's homeland from when he was a kid in Hawaii was simply a whistleblower exposing the illegal activities that the NSA was perpetrating against American people on their landline and cell phones. Mm-hmm.
So
how do you like that?
Two things real quick. It should also be reiterated, if it hasn't already been, Julian Assange is not an American citizen.
That is correct.
Right.
He's not from here.
Not from here. To my knowledge, never lived here.
Never lived here.
Has he ever set foot here?
I don't know that answer, but okay. Presumably not, and did not break a law here.
Right.
And isn't being prosecuted in his home country for breaking
That's
any of their
good
laws.
Point, Richard. Right.
So the United States has like zero jurisdiction on any of this. Like, axiomatically.
Right. That's the biggest problem that I have, too, is that, like, okay. Here we have the United States government persecuting a man they have no business persecuting because they have no jurisdiction to persecute
Zero.
Him.
Zero. Yeah. And for Edward Snowden, as a whistleblower, there's a
Professor
reason.
Tribe
hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Senator
I'm going to keep,
McCain
I'm gonna keep talking over
example,
you until you shut up, Gigi.
Senator
Gigi, hang
McCain,
on.
Gigi. A Vietnam veteran.
Thank right. you.
Go ahead, Richie.
For the Edward Snowden thing, the reason he like tried to get the whistleblower protection,
yep.
but the reason he's in Russia is because they won't extradite him back, right? Like
yep.
he had to flee to avoid prosecution,
right?
Because they're going to prosecute him if he comes back,
right?
So he's not getting whistleblower protection.
Yeah. So
yes, Mr. Snowden, but Julian Assange is currently awaiting the verdict of the British appellate courts, and he is in a British prison.
Mm-hmm.
He was apprehended when he stepped outside the parameters of the Embassy of Ecuador in London.
He didn't even step outside the parameters. Ecuador revoked his, what do you call it, immunity pass, mm-hmm. passage, whatever, and then they went in and got him.
When police investigated Ooh. Zhang and Liao in November, they found the plastic bucket used to freeze Zhang's feet.
They didn't even throw it away?
Get rid of the evidence.
They found insurance documents. They found a white polystyrene box for dry ice, 8 mobile phones, and a tablet computer, the Investigations Bureau said. I don't know what the significance of 8 mobile phones is, but Liao and Zhang were
Hiding
arrested
communications.
On January 17th and are both charged with fraud and aiding and abetting serious injury, the Bureau says. Local media, citing prosecutors, reported that Zhang had claimed $7,200 from one insurer, but this money would be seized. Apparently,
what happened to the $1.3 million?
Yeah, some insurers and authorities have reported that rates of insurance fraud are rising after the height of the pandemic. Yeah.
There was a lot of fraud.
Yeah, well, the pandemic itself. A lot of fraud.
Yep.
The City of London Police's Insurance Fraud Enforcement Department said reported cases of opportunistic fraud with someone tries to fake an injury or exaggerate a claim surged from 61% from March, or surged a total of 61% from March 2022 to April 2023. So in 1 year, they saw a 61% spike in this type of a fraudulent activity. The department's chief inspector, Tom Hill, said the increasing cost of living might push people to consider insurance fraud. In February, South Korea amended its law, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Stop inflating your currency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is one thing that I did not understand from like a national political point of view.
Okay.
Right. If you were the leader of your particular country and every other political leader was devaluing their currency, like, why would you follow suit? Right? Because if
that
you
is
just,
the question.
If you left yours the same or strengthened yours, it would be that much more valuable on the national scale. And so I don't know why everyone's like, well, the United States is doing it, so I guess we got to devalue our currency too.
It is weird how politics on almost any scale, town to town, city to city, county to county, state to state, country to country, right, are a bunch of monkey see, monkey do, mother FCCers.
But it's not even in their best interest, right? At least politicians, they do things like in their best interest, at the expense of everybody else, but like, well, for them it works.
It is in their best interest because they can lie about it and get elected.
Okay.
Right? So, like this whole Joe Biden thing, right? So the pandemic kicks in, Biden's president, right?
Sure.
All the businesses are shut down, right? A bunch of businesses close. Everybody's out of work, right? No art is allowed, right? All that kind of thing. And so then, you see a big job loss, right? And then, everything starts to open back up. Businesses kind of start to come back to an extent or whatever. Now he claims record job growth.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Right? So, like, that is the why, the in their best interests why. There's a quote here. We take this issue seriously and have previously confirmed our private label suppliers do not use animal labor in producing these products, Whole Foods Market wrote in a statement. We have reinvestigated this issue out of an abundance of caution and have again confirmed that coconuts from Thailand used in these products are harvested without the use of animal labor. So Whole Foods themselves says, we double checked and we're not using slave monkey coconuts.
You know what would have been even funnier? I don't know. Again, I don't know how long ago.
A band called Slave Monkey Coconuts?
Yes, now.
Okay.
But there was some state in the union that was going to be treating furries was like animal control.
Yeah.
Right?
I saw that.
Okay, good. So I'm not making stuff up.
Nope.
If they like called animal control to round up these people dressed as monkeys throwing coconuts at people instead of the police, like they just put the collar around them and like yanked them into the control truck.
I want to know if during this protest,
they're rabid,
as they're hurling coconuts about the Whole Foods. I'm not sure. It doesn't.
Were they husked coconuts or just were like raw coconuts?
Well, in the photo, there's a couple of them that are sort of like broken open in half.
Okay.
You know, but most of them, you know, are whole, you know, bowling ball looking,
okay,
you know, things. But like, I want to know, as they're hurling these coconuts about the Whole Foods, if anybody like grabbed a lime and tried to put
the lime in the coconut
and drank it all up.
Shake it all up.
Yeah. I wonder if that occurred, because I would have tried something like that. I'd be like, look at all these coconuts. Oh, look, here's a lime. Let's do the thing.
Call your doctor.
If you do it more than once, yeah, call your
doctor.
Okay, all right. You have a problem.
That seems like it would be so rancid.
Yeah.
Dairy and citrus?
Coconut's interesting, right? You know?
Okay.
Because it's not really dairy.
Well, it's, okay, fine. Coconut milk, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really coconut juice.
Sure.
I don't know why they call it milk.
Because they call everything milk.
Yeah.
That looks white.
Yeah. Almond milk.
Yep.
It's like, it's not really almond milk. It's water rushed through.
We need a law.
Yeah, it's really just water and almonds blended together with like seed oils and
a bunch
of other stuff.
It's like really thin almond butter. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, but almond butter's different. That's more like peanut butter.
Yeah, but that's what
I'm saying. It's
brown. Like, you add a bunch of water to it to thin it out, and then, you know, you put it in boxes and call it milk.
Yeah.
It would be like peanut milk. Right? That doesn't even sound appealing, but like it would probably taste like peanut butter flavored milk.
A few weeks ago on, I think it was Wednesday's show, we covered that the dairy industry was targeting the milk alternatives.
Yes.
And they wanted to
call it
nut water or like nut juice or something.
So
they're like, stop using the word milk. You either have to misspell it or call it something else.
Yes.
So briefly during the break, while you guys were talking about like the tea that Captain was drinking.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat of a tea snob.
Okay.
And I don't like herbal teas being called herbal teas because there's no tea leaf in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an herbal infusion.
Yeah. Or herbal blend.
There's no tea leaf in herbal tea?
Correct.
Well, because a tea leaf would be like black tea, right? So
yeah.
Or tea leaf. Or from the tea leaf. From the tea leaf plant.
Maybe this explains why I like black tea, English breakfast tea,
Earl
Grey, right, over anything else.
Like, because they're completely different.
Is there tea in green tea?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's fermented, I think, right?
I don't know if it's fermented.
It's black tea leaves that they do something to.
Oh, I thought they just dried them up, put them in a bag.
It's maybe somewhere in the process, because they did the white tea for a little bit, and that's just harvested early, right? And black tea is dried or whatever, and there's oolong tea. But herbal tea is usually other things, not the tea leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And they just call it herbal tea because you steep it like you would normal tea.
Right.
But there's no tea in it. Mm. So I get where the milk industry's coming from.
Yeah.
It's not milk.
Right.
Right. Yep. It's something other than milk. You can call it what you want, just like they call herbal tea herbal tea. Right. But it's not the same thing.
It's still lame to get the state involved. You know what I mean? Like, would you be like, we need a law?
I've never said we need a law, but I correct people
all
the time.
So that's what the dairy industry was doing. And to me, it seems like a lot of people are going to milk alternatives and they're starting to, you know, not like that market competition.
So you're telling me that herbal tea is not Mr. T's offspring?
Nope, not at all.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like if he had like a grandkid kid or something. Herbal. Kid named Herbal. Herb tea.
Just call him Herb.
I pity the fool who doesn't steep.
Now, if you really want to get on the milk industry, right? Like what percent of milk is whole milk?
Yeah, skim milk. I mean, I get offended when people call that milk.
Yeah,
I don't even like it pasteurized.
What about 1%, 2%, right? How come there's not like a 50% milk?
Because whole milk is like 3%.
So it's not really whole.
It's not whole at all. And it's not that much
of a difference. Because they're talking about the fat content, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So you get like from 3% down to 2%, it's not that big of a jump. But people go like, oh, 2% milk.
Like I said, I don't even want it pasteurized. I don't even want it homogenized. Just leave it. Just get your raw fresh milk. Yeah.
Like Tom Green.
Tom Green.
Straight from the udder.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we've carried this story about as far as it's going to go. We began talking about this headline. We actually only got to the headline. The headline from this article from ZeroHedge.com says, "The delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance." We'll just get through a paragraph here. We've got some calls on hold that we need to get to. These days, we hear a lot about the concept of the male power fantasy. I don't hear anything
about that. I've never heard that phrase before in my life.
Usually in references to accusations of toxic masculinity.
Okay, I hear that, yeah.
Does it have a definition, though?
Not here in this paragraph, anyway. In other words, feminists and woke activists argue that the male power fantasy is a social construct that makes men aggressive, and masculine aggression is supposedly the cause of most of society's ills. So I guess,
I mean, that sounds really dumb.
That's their way of defining it, I guess.
I would honestly say the opposite of that.
Yeah, that you're not a feminist,
being
then.
Like men, absolutely, there are men that are like overly aggressive and toxic, but I think that's due to a lack of solid masculinity.
Okay. I would also say toxic masculinity goes the other way, and it's the weak men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the I'm a nice guy guys.
Yeah.
Who harass people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And are owed
something
from
them. They're like, oh, girls don't like nice guys. It's like, well, maybe you're like not actually a nice guy.
And why?
That's toxic.
Yeah.
What's the most common denominator amongst that particular type of a male?
The leftists.
No, they did not have a strong male figure in the household.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge.
No strong male father figure in the household.
And the feminists are not going to like you saying that.
Well, I mean, I'm
a strong, independent, single mom.
Yeah. I'm a strong, independent, single person.
I don't know why my son is out of control.
You know, like, what does that mean? I'm strong, independent, single. Who cares? Like, why do you feel the need to announce that to everybody?
Yeah. You know? I mean, this is a huge thing that I'm into. I mean, you know, I'm very into, obviously, like, homeschooling, not breaking up the family unit, I think is very, very important. And I think...
Wait until she was married to get pregnant.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just smart, right? It's like, we need some commitment here before, you know, and just, there are so many things in our modern world that I think are purposely invented to disrupt the normal family, you know, whatever the family unit, right? So
the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not even just that. I mean, it's...
Okay, Sarah.
I mean, it's a huge topic. I mean, like, we could go into the economy, how we need, how a lot of families need a double income household to even be able to make ends meet.
Yep.
So then they have to send their kids to public school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this huge thing. So it's...
Spirals into the state.
Yes. Yeah, essentially.
No, certainly, like, I believe that the family unit was disrupted specifically or assisted with its disruption specifically by government in order to double its tax base.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's one of the things.
Here's a way government can double the amount of money it rapes from people on an annual basis just by doubling the workforce, right?
Yeah.
Getting women into the workforce, which they weren't largely previously, right?
That was started with a wartime effort, though, right?
Sure.
Like, oh, all the men are dying. Who's going to build stuff?
And, but that wasn't the first.
That was their excuse.
That wasn't the first war.
All right.
Right.
Right? I mean, it was like a world war, so you could
argue. It's kind of a big one.
You know, yeah, it's kind of a big one.
Send more guys to that one.
But, I mean, human beings have been at war since the beginning of time, right?
Right. Yeah.
And women have always had to stay at home, take care of children. Like, that was kind of their role in society.
Like the 70s and 80s, particularly with like the early feminist movement and that type of thing, and then the advent of divorce, right? Or at least the increase.
The normalization
of divorce as like it used to be sort of the exception. The divorce.
Yeah, stayed with them and
now,
took the beating.
Now it's just like, oh, we've broken up and the government recognizes we're no longer boyfriend, girlfriend. Like marriage as a legal entity shouldn't even exist. Like,
and the government says she can have half your stuff.
Right. And there's all these laws about it that like certainly are unfavorable to the men.
Right.
With regard to divorce.
Generally. So, and she gets the kids.
Yeah.
You pay her half and she keeps your kids.
I've mentioned this before in Washington State before I left. There's something that says if you just live with a girl who has kids that are from somebody before you, from another guy, you live with her long enough, they consider you common law marriage, or if you get married and then divorced or whatever, you're on the hook for the kids that aren't yours.
It's right. Just so crazy, though, because like, those aren't your kids.
Right.
What about the real baby daddy?
Off the hook, because you took his responsibility.
I mean, so we
that's
have...
That's the way I understand it.
That's how I understand it as well. I've heard of this, you know, law in Washington State as well.
But then again, that disincentivizes the men from staying with the woman.
Right.
Right. Like, right. Why would you go out with, you know, why would you take on a woman with children if you're going to be legally obligated forever?
Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. Well, I have to admit, I'm probably one of those toxic males who believes in personal liberty.
And, well, that doesn't make you toxic to us. Choices. So.
Yeah, I married a good Christian woman way back when, and we had a good life for about 16 years before she decided that I was toxic, and so I'm single.
Congratulations!
But the situation was initially, she would say how. I understand that you're the head of the house for the leadership and all that, and I will follow you and do all this kind of thing until enough of her friends, you know, got together and said, you know, we're tired of this stuff.
It's always the friends.
Anyway, but I'm also so much a toxic male in that I believe that people with titles are just other people. You've probably heard that before.
Sure. From you specifically.
And yeah.
And I don't recognize half of the captain's titles. Couldn't even remember them if I tried.
Sometimes I can't either. It's amazing I remember them on some Sunday shows.
I'm sure you will join with me in the sadness of the news of Princess Kate's cancer diagnosis.
Oh, no. a monarch died? Oh, darn.
No, she's... Got diagnosed with cancer.
No, they didn't die. No, just got cancer.
Do you actually care? And if so, why?
Nobody else in the world is in the news for getting cancer, but certain people with titles sure are.
Yeah. Well, she's more important than us.
That was more.
Clearly.
That's what I'm saying, is they have more rights and privileges than you or I because somehow. Yeah.
Well, but you can say that about people without titles, right? Celebrities don't necessarily have titles, but... They make the news cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. Well, that was just one little tidbit, but the one I wanted to focus on today was I saw this fellow. I don't know if you'd call him an auditor or not, but he got stopped by these cops because he didn't have a special little tag on the back of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were telling him about how he had broken the code and that kind of thing. He said, well, that's not a crime. He was one of those crazy people, another toxic male, who kind of stood his ground. And,
sovereign citizen.
Said, well, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't one of those.
Okay.
But he did decide to just tell him, you know, it's not a crime, and I'm not going to give you any information. And here's a statement or affidavit of something or other that he gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept pursuing it. He said, well, we need to see your driver's license. He said, well, I'm not going to show you anything like that. He said, well, if you don't show us this information we want to know, we'll have to break your window and haul you out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And in each one of these situations that I've seen like that, I want the person to kind of play it back to the police. And they never do. The idea that, so what you're telling me is because I don't have a sticker on my car, you're willing to destroy my property, hurt me, maybe tase me, possibly even shoot me,
mm-hmm.
because I have not put a sticker on my car.
Right.
I just want them to step through in the minds of these cops to understand the level of violence they're willing to do to
somebody. They don't understand that, though.
Yeah, you're presupposing that cops have the intellect to comprehend that particular string of words together and put it together logically.
I have been dragged from my car under similar circumstances.
Ooh.
Not the broken window.
But what I'm getting at is none of these people, they might stand their ground and say, I'm not going to do it. It's not a crime. Go away. Leave me alone. I want to be on my way. But they don't feed it back to the individual to clarify on video. So what you're saying is you're going to do all these things because I don't have a sticker.
Right.
And then have them at least acknowledge it on video.
So I didn't get video of it, but I did have a conversation from the backseat of a police car where I told the cop that he was no better than a robot. Right? He's like not even human because all he does is follow orders. He's like, I like my life like that.
Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, well, I have to admit I'm probably one of those toxic males who believes in personal liberty.
And well, that doesn't make you toxic to us, choices. So.
Yeah, I married a good Christian woman.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when, and we had a good life for about 16 years before she decided that I was toxic, and so I'm single.
Congratulations.
But the situation was, initially she would say how I understand that you're the head of the house for the leadership and all that, and I will follow you and do all this kind of thing until enough of her friends, you know, got together and said, you know, we're tired of this stuff.
It's always the friends.
Anyway, but I'm also so much a toxic male in that I believe that people with titles are just other people. You probably heard that before.
Sure. From you specifically.
And yeah.
And I don't recognize half of the captain's titles. Couldn't even remember them if I tried.
Sometimes I can't either. It's amazing I remember them on some Sunday shows.
I'm sure you will join with me in the sadness of the news of Princess Kate's cancer diagnosis.
Oh, no. a monarch died? Oh, darn.
No, she just got diagnosed with cancer.
No, didn't die. No, just got cancer.
Do you actually care? And if so, why?
Nobody else in the world is in the news for getting cancer, but certain people with titles sure are.
Yeah. Well, she's more important than us.
That was more,
clearly.
That's what I'm saying, is they have more rights and privileges than you or I because somehow.
Yeah. Well, but you can say that about people without titles, right? Celebrities don't necessarily have titles, but they make the news cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. Well, that was just one little tidbit, but the one I wanted to focus on today was I saw this fellow, I don't know if you'd call him an auditor or not, but he got stopped by these cops because he didn't have a special little tag on the back of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were telling him about how he had broken the code and that kind of thing. He said, well, that's not a crime. He was one of those crazy people, another toxic male, who kind of stood his ground. And,
sovereign citizen.
Said, no, well, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't one of those.
Okay.
But he did decide to just tell him, you know, it's not a crime, and I'm not going to give you any information. And here's a statement or affidavit of something or other that he gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept pursuing it. They said, well, we need to see your driver's license. He said, well, I'm not going to show you anything like that. He said, well, if you don't show us this information we want to know, we'll have to break your window and haul you out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And in each one of these situations that I've seen like that, I want the person to kind of play it back to the police. And they never do. The idea that, so what you're telling me is because I don't have a sticker on my car, you're willing to destroy my property, hurt me, maybe tase me, possibly even shoot me,
mm-hmm.
because I have not put a sticker on my car.
Right.
I just want them to step through in the minds of these cops to understand the level of violence they're willing to do to
somebody. They don't understand that, though.
Yeah, you're presupposing that cops have the intellect to comprehend that particular string of words together and put it together logically.
I have been dragged from my car under similar circumstances.
Ooh.
Not the broken window.
But what I'm getting at is none of these people, they might stand their ground and say, I'm not going to do it. It's not a crime. Go away. Leave me alone. I want to be on my way. But they don't feed it back to the individual to clarify on video. So what you're saying is you're going to do all these things because I don't have a sticker.
Right.
And then have them at least acknowledge it on video.
History is, of course, splattered with male rulers who have abused their authority and committed a host of atrocities. And this is why, when we talk about the word anarchy, it's important to tell you, the listeners of this show, that anarchy does not mean no rules.
Mm-hmm.
It means no rulers that don't give power to those who are going to be the most toxic. I'm talking about presidents. I'm talking about monarchs, kings, queens, stuff like that. Anyway, these men are the exception to the rule. The majority of men desire a chance at heroism and adherence to a moral code. We used to call it chivalry, the opposite of villainy.
There's a lot to chivalry beyond just that. Like, it's an interesting code if you get into it.
I've never looked into, like, what's behind the, like, I hear the word off the top. Oh, chivalry?
Yeah, like, you think of, like, opening the door and paying for dinner, but
it's way more in-depth than that.
Or some lady's going, like, oh, he seems like a chivalrous type of dude or whatever. Or they complain there's not enough chivalry in the world. There used to be more, right? That kind of
thing. Right, but they're usually referring to, like, the opening the door,
right?
Not, like, the codes of combat.
Yeah, true. The hero's journey usually requires a struggle to attain the power that will eventually be used by the man in question. It is at least subconsciously understood that power attained without experience and wisdom leads to corruption. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Turn to the dark side before your training is complete.
Yes. In other words, for men, great power comes with great responsibility. I can't believe they used that.
Okay, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm playing through like Spider-Man 2, and it there's a lot of wokeness in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, just really? Saying.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Carry on.
My wayward son?
Sure.
Will there be peace when you are gone?
No.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more?
No.
Speaking of Gwar.
Was that Gwar?
Well, they did a cover of that. It's the best cover of that song. Of all time.
That doesn't make sense in my brain, but I'll take your word for it.
If you've never seen Gwar covering Kansas Carry On My Wayward Son.
That just doesn't sound right.
Get to your favorite magic rectangle and bring that up immediately, because it is great. It is better than the original song, in my opinion.
I really like that song.
If you're going to pull that song up, find the one where they did. I think it's the Something Club is where they did it, the original one. They released an album cut of it, too, which is also hilarious, but I like the first one better because they did it live. They did it live! That's right.
A quote that I think more libertarians need to like understand and internalize is that liberty requires eternal vigilance. I don't know the whole quote.
Yeah.
But that's it. You don't get to rest.
Yeah.
You don't get to lay your weary head.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a wayward son.
Yeah.
You got to attain it, and then you got to diligently keep it for generations to come and train those generations to be diligent and vigilant about it as well.
Yeah. We had a take on that as one of the lyrics, one of our songs. It was, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Yep. That might be the full quote.
Sometimes when you write lyrics for songs, you have to like, you know, you might try to directly quote something, but because of the syncopation, paraphrase.
Whatever it is, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You don't get to rest. You get it. To keep it, you have to be eternally vigilant.
The continuing on with the article, the female power fantasy, however, unfortunately, is very different. For feminists in particular, great power means never having to take responsibility for anything ever.
Which, it's the patriarchy.
Which is the problem that I have with the state, a.k.a. government.
Yeah.
Right? Because all you're doing is outsourcing responsibility. You're like, oh, but I care about the poor. My taxes. No, you don't care about the poor. You just want government to care about the poor for you, so you don't have to worry about it.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.